Thank you, choir. It is so nice to be ministered to. I'm so used to being back there with all of you, and it was so nice this morning to listen to the choir and all of your beautiful voices. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seeds on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts it in to sickle it because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you can plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches, and the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the two verses before today's scripture began, it says that the light of Jesus' truth is revealed and not hidden. Jesus is telling the disciples that they may not be able to use or see all of that truth right now. It is only when we put God's teachings into practice that we can fully understand and see more of God's truth. The truth is clear, but sometimes we have difficulty in understanding. As we obey and as we do what God is calling us to do, we will sharpen our vision and increase our understanding. The more we study the Bible, the more God will reveal to us as we learn. You have heard Pastor Pegg say this, and I know I've experienced the same thing, that just about every time I open the Bible, read a passage, God reveals some new thought or idea that I had never thought of before. That is why it is so important for us to go to God's Word, to study Bible study, and every time that we have an opportunity to do so. Jesus used his parables to help the disciples and others and us today to understand what he was talking about. The first parable talks about the growing seed. We can understand, we can understand the process of spiritual growth by comparing it to the slow but, Jesus uses the parable to explain that although Christianity had very small beginnings, it would grow into a worldwide community of believers. Our commentary this morning tells us that when we feel alone or in our stand, the times that we feel alone in our stand for Christ, that we must realize that God is building a worldwide kingdom. He has faithful followers in every part of the world, and that our faith, no matter how small, can join with others to accomplish great things. Jesus knew what his audience could understand and what they couldn't. Jesus didn't speak in parables to confuse them, but to challenge them, to sincere seekers to discover the meaning of his words. Those who listened carefully to Jesus knew what he was talking about. As I was preparing this message, I came across an article in the Proclaim magazine that was dealing with today's Mark 4 scripture. It said that more than 19 centuries have gone by since Jesus lived on our planet, and that we still speak of him as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, teacher that ever lived. This comes from not only followers of Christ, but of those seeking to know Jesus, and some of the non-believers, maybe who have not yet made a commitment one way or the other. The article goes on to say that Jesus talked mostly about his kingdom. He began his ministry by announcing that people should change their ways because of the kingdom of God, and because the kingdom of God was at hand. He described what it would be like once his kingdom had come. And how did Jesus do this teaching and this preaching? He did his teaching and preaching about the kingdom mostly by using parables. Jesus never said when his kingdom would come. He never gave us a date, and he never gave us a time. This makes us think of the people today who are convinced that they know exactly when Jesus is coming back. Again and again, his disciples pressed him for a specific time and a specific date when this would happen. One thing you and I know for sure is that Jesus' kingdom has not come yet, and we're still waiting for it. The generation that knew Jesus face to face and had heard his parables from his own voice up close and personal, all of them died without seeing his kingdom come. And since then, more than 19 centuries of Jesus' followers have come and they've gone, and still his kingdom has not come to pass. Furthermore, Jesus wrote this kingdom into the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, of course, which is our Lord's Prayer. The first petition in that prayer goes like, "Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Human beings have offered that prayer to God literally billions of times, probably trillions. We have already said that prayer this morning, and other worshipers all over the world and churches all over will say it in their languages and their places of worship. Millions of people say the prayer for the kingdom of God to come upon the earth. Today, as we meet here for worship, this kingdom is the subject of our scripture lesson. It comes to us in the form of a parable, and now I'm going to explain to you why. The first reason why, of course, is because it is timely. The parables in this lesson are parables for our time. The disciples heard it, and now we're hearing it today. This portion of Scripture brings to conclusion Mark's section on the parables. The mystery of the kingdom is revealed to the disciples, but remains to outsiders. The first parable, verses 26 through 29, lifts up the mystery of growth. Most of us here have planted seeds in the gardens or even out in fields, so we know that the seed sprouts and grows on its own, and it's not because of what we've done. The growth of the kingdom is a gift from God. The second parable, verses 30 to 32, emphasizes the magnitude of the kingdom's growth and its small beginnings. The mustard seed begins as one of the smallest seeds and grows into one of the largest shrubs. Almost everything starts out and begins small. The human being begins when two microscopic cells come together and grow explosively, both in size and complexity. The kingdom is part of this growth explosion, starting with a few people who transform into a multitude. The point of today's parable is that small can become great. Like the mustard seed, which starts out small and grows large, the kingdom ushered in by Jesus began with just 12 men, but will and has ultimately spread all over the earth. Now, most of us have had times when we felt quite small and our efforts seem insignificant. I can think of many times in my own life when I worked really hard to accomplish something, and it seemed that even through all of my efforts, things just didn't work out the way I planned, or at least hoped that they would. From the time I was probably 3 years old, because our family lived close to Arlen Field, I always went every Friday night in the football season, would go to football games. My mom and dad loved to go watch the guys play, and of course, during some of that time, my cousin Dick Frana, you know, and Bill Frana were two of the football players. So it was always fun to go watch them play. When I was a little bit older, by going to those games, it always made me want to be a part of the band. I wanted to be in the band so bad. And then even I had thoughts of being a majorette. Now, one of the summers before sixth grade, Dick was in charge of a camp, not a camp, but a at one of the parks in Mansfield, and during that time of the camp time or the park time, there was a class being taught on twirling, baton twirling. Well, I was so excited about that, and Dick took his little cousin along with him, and I had the joy of being a part of that and learning how to twirl. Well, I wanted to do that so bad. Well, when I finally had the opportunity to try out in junior high, I had already had one of my knee issues start. And so I think at that point I had maybe a little bit of a limp when I did some of the stuff with my baton. And so I didn't make majorette. I, of course, was very disappointed. All that work, all of that practice, and I didn't make it. But I was in the band. And so that was good. So many times we have hope, and we just pray that that something's going to work out for us. And sometimes it doesn't quite work out the way we want. But like I said, at least I got to be in the band. The mustard seed, the things that I'm sure that you have tried, that you have maybe wanted to do, maybe didn't quite work out the way you wanted to do. But this morning's lesson, we see that the mustard seed can give us hope. William Barclay tells us that the kingdom of God really means the reign of God. It means that the day when God's will be done perfectly on earth as it is in heaven. That is the goal of God for the whole universe. Barclay goes on to say that the parable tells us of the helplessness of humans. We all know that the farmer does not make the seed grow. In fact, he does not even understand many times how it grows. The seed has the secret of life and of growth within itself. Human beings can discover things, they can rearrange them, and they can develop them, but they cannot create them. We do not create the kingdom of God. The kingdom is God's. And it is our responsibility to scatter the seeds by sharing with one another, sharing what Christ is doing in our lives. It is our responsibility to tell others what it means to have Christ in our lives and how the presence of the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us. It is a notable fact that Jesus most often used illustrations of growth of nature to describe the coming of the kingdom of God. We often notice that nature growth seems slow. For instance, the cornfields and the soybean fields, and that it seems like, we know that the farmers get out and they plant the seed, and it just seems like forever before we finally see those little green sprouts pop up. One of the parishioners that at the Olivesburg Church that I served told me that every spring her husband happened to be one of the first farmers to get things planted because farming was his profession. And so some of the other farmers in the area had other jobs, and so it took them a while to be able to get out into the fields. Well, this man, happened to be one of the first ones, and he had his seeds planted before everybody else. It was interesting. Every time we would drive out by their farm, we could see, after so long, we could see the sprouts starting to pop up. Day and night, while we sleep, the growth goes on. Without our even realizing it, God unfolds his plan. And it is our job to keep planting the seeds. Some seeds have enormous potential for growth. We must be patient and not get upset when all of the plants are not the same size. Just like the cornfields that I mentioned and talked about, in some fields the corn is possibly 5 or 6 inches high, while the others plants have grown nearly a foot. Each year we hear the same old saying, the farmers want their corn to be knee-high on the 4th of July. But if it's not quite that tall, we must not despair, because just like our brothers and sisters who are new in the faith and considered babes in Christ, they will flourish and they will grow as God intended them to. God knows that the seeds need water and sunlight, and he also knows what his children need to grow and to mature. In talking about God's kingdom, we shouldn't worry about the size, but only about growing according to God's plan. So many times the church, and most churches are all guilty of it, they're concerned with its members, or excuse me, they're concerned about the size of the church instead of being concerned with the members that are already there. Many times pastors, and I must confess that I was in that group of people, I myself thought many times and worried too much about filling the chairs in the sanctuary instead of filling the souls with Christ's teachings. We are to reach out to the unchurched and spread the seed. God will do the rest. The kingdom of God and the good we do in Christ's name will grow great. Chances are, if you are here, the seed of the kingdom has been planted in your hearts. For those of you who have been Christians for many years, you can probably think back to different people in your life who made a difference and helped you in your faith journey. For me, it was my grandmother. We would sing hymns in the evening time, all throughout the day, and she would read scripture to me every night when I slept at her house. I always heard her pray the Lord's Prayer and pray for all of her children and her grandchildren. A couple of grandma's sisters and brother would come occasionally to visit. And I didn't realize it at the time, but God was getting me ready, was planting seeds for me to do visitation. I was never afraid to go into a nursing home and visit older people because God had prepared me by spending time with my older relatives. Before I started my course of study to become a local pastor, I went through the training to serve as a Stephen minister. The lady that I was a Stephen minister to was 86 years old. I spent 2 years visiting with her and her family. A couple years after I had left that particular congregation, she had passed away, and I was honored to be able to serve and to speak at her funeral. Just like each of you, seeds were planted in me to help me grow, to help my faith journey to grow. Our brothers and our sisters in Christ have received the joy of watching each other grow. As a pastor, I have experienced the joy in watching others grow in their faith journeys. And it's so exciting when a babe in Christ experiences one of those aha moments and realizes the power of God's presence in their lives. And finally, the kingdom of God and the good we do in Christ's name will grow great. A friend of mine once shared that one of her favorite movies was the movie Oh God. Those of you who have seen it or remember seeing it, remember that God decided to communicate his love to the world through a grocery store manager. He appears to the manager one morning while he's taking a shower. Now, at first, the manager tries to avoid being God's spokesman. Finally, he holds a news conference to deliver God's message, which is embarrassing for himself and for his family, and it caused a lot of chaos. Toward the end of the movie, though, the two are evaluating the success of their mission. The manager judges it to be a failure. Oh, I don't think so, God told him. You never know. A seed here and a seed there, something will catch hold and grow. And so this week, as you share your stories and scatter God's seed, God promises that some will produce mightily. And please remember that it is up to you and me to plant the seeds because it is part of God's plan. I would like to end with this poem. God is working his purpose out as the year succeeds to year. God is working his purpose out, and the time is drawing near. Near and near draws the time that shall surely be when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Amen.